The I-4 corridor is considered vital to the presidential election, the swing region, and the swing state. We're taking a trip down I-4 with a look at each county and its politics. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sessingham.
He's got to win the I-4 corridor, Tampa, Hillsborough County,
in
that area.
The goes right through Florida, more specifically, the I-4 corridor.
Florida's I-4 corridor stretches from Daytona to Tampa. And it's one of the most contentious political battlegrounds in the country.
The I-4 corridor is the ultimate battleground region.
Political reporters are zeroing in on the coveted I-4 corridor. Today on Florida Matters, WUSF teams up with WMFE in Orlando to visit the counties along that interstate, see what makes them tick, and how they might affect the race. We're starting our road trip in Volusia County on the eastern end of I-4, where, as Catherine Welch reports, Donald Trump has made inroads in what was once a solidly Democratic county.
While pollsters dial up Florida voters in this tight presidential race, there's a different kind of polling taking place at the Daytona Flea Market. It's happening at the cash register. There are buttons, hats, and bobblehead dolls of both candidates for sale, but one candidate is selling better than the other. Take the doggy shirts. Gray shirts in a variety of sizes, from Chihuahua to Beagle, hang in two rows. One row holds Trump shirts, the other Hillary shirts. The Trump shirts fly off the hangers, while the Hillary shirts can't be given away. And sales are brisk around the corner, where Steve Stone is selling Trump for President t-shirts, but for humans.
Very good. But t-shirts are good. They love the buttons.
The shop looks like a campaign office, and in many ways, Stone is managing Trump's ground game here in Volusia County.
I'm starting another campaign here. Orange City's on my list. Deltona, bedroom communities for Orlando, and if we can get somebody in Orlando, it just needs to spread. This is grassroots.
So he's taken it upon himself to register voters and hand out signs. Resident Karen Gorman sees those signs all along the beachside.
If you take a ride along A1A and you go by State Road 40 going down A1A along Ormond Beach, every house, Trump, 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 Trump.
She calls herself a conservative and says she supported Bill Clinton back in the 90s, but can't bring herself to switch sides again and vote for Hillary.
There's so many things in her past. So many things are swept under the table. It bothers me. Even though she's a woman and she could be the first woman president, I really think that this is going to be a Trump state, a Republican state.
Not all of Volusia County is Trump country. While Mitt Romney won the county by a hair in 2012, Barack Obama handedly took the county in 2008. University of South Florida political science professor Susan McManus remembers when it used to be one of the most solidly Democratic counties in the state.
And the newspaper over there, the Daytona Beach News Journal, used to be the most liberal newspaper in Florida.
Republicans now outnumber Democrats, but just barely. And not far behind are unaffiliated voters. Daytona is home to many of Volusia County's Democrats, partly due to the sizable Black community surrounding the historically Black Bethune-Cookman University. Not far from campus, customers get a cut and talk politics at Cutmaster's Barbershop.
The barbershop, that's where it is, where people really speak their mind. And at the end of the day, we all remain friends.
Owner Derek Harris is voting for Clinton.
I don't always vote straight down the party lines. There are some Republicans that I vote for as well. But when it comes down to hearing the issues, knowledge of the issues, and just the arrogancy of the other candidate, there's no way that I could support someone like that.
Harris is also a pastor, so whether he has people's attention in the barber's chair or in the pulpit, he's constantly preaching about the importance of voting.
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, you can probably see my sign right in, let my people vote. I have it right on the front.
Getting out the vote will be key to deciding who wins Volusia County. Also key, how all of those unaffiliated voters will swing on the eastern edge of the I-4 corridor. In Orlando, I'm Catherine Welch.
Suburban mothers constitute a swing voter group the presidential candidates are watching closely. These women are neither urban, who tend to vote Democrat, nor rural, who tend to vote Republican. Amy Green spoke with some Seminole County mothers and found they're often swayed by children's issues.
It's a hit. Spectators cheer and volunteers help as this special needs child runs toward first base, his baseball helmet bobbing loosely on his head. Anne Aranda of Sanford is among the parents watching from the stands at Eastmont Park in Altamont Springs. Her 13 and 12-year-old boys are among the volunteers. She says it's her busy family life that prevents her from deciding how to vote in this neck-and-neck presidential race.
Honestly, for me, it's being able to actually sit down and dive into all of the information.
She says she's leaning toward Donald Trump.
It's not necessarily Trump, it's more his running mate. It's Mike Pence. A big fan of him and what he's done in Indiana.
Susan McManus of the University of South Florida says suburban mothers like Aranda represent one of the biggest unknowns about the presidential race. Florida is a swing state that, with more electoral votes than any other, is virtually essential to presidential candidates. Seminole County neighbors Orlando to the north, putting it near the heart of the I-4 corridor, where rural North Florida blends with urban South Florida. Here, tree-lined neighborhoods mingle among some of the region's most distinguished schools. The county has favored Republicans for president dating to Franklin Roosevelt, but is one Democrat's target because of its location. Here's McManus.
Suburban counties like Seminole are the swing counties, and it is within those counties, often the suburban woman, particularly with kids, who does make up their minds at the last minute to swing in one direction or another.
Children play among the showers and spouts of Trailblazer Park in Lake Mary. Sunita Shiva Devani of Heathrow watches her daughter and son, ages 9 and 5. She says she supports Hillary Clinton because of her health care policy.
My son, he needs more health care support because he has some developmental delays and details. So we like to vote for the person who is looking at the broader picture in those areas.
But Lisa Weller of Longwood backs Trump. She's at the park with her 3-year-old grandchild. 3 of her 4 children are in college. All have jobs.
We need to be a stronger nation. We need to get people back to work. Donald Trump seems to have a history there, putting people back to work.
If you're happy and you know it, ring your bell.
A few minutes away at the library in Castleberry, it's story time. Sarah White leads a small group of babies and their mothers in song. Tanya Mahan of Maitland is here with her 6-week-old daughter, who sleeps soundly on her shoulder. Mahan says she's not sure how she'll vote in November.
It really is, this year, the lesser of two evils.
She says she doesn't trust Clinton, but doesn't agree with Trump's Republican ideology.
I like that Donald Trump is not your standard politician and that he is going to be doing things that we haven't seen done before, and I think we desperately need a change. I'm a registered Democrat, and if I were to vote for Hillary Clinton, it wouldn't be because I like her. I don't. It would be a vote for my party.
She says she might consider a third-party candidate or flip a coin. In a swing region like Florida's I-4 corridor, suburban mothers like Mahan could decide the presidential race. Amy Green in Castleberry.
Orange County is a Democratic stronghold, but it wasn't always that way. As the county got younger and younger, the area became more blue. Brendan Byrne looks into what's driving Orange County's youngest voters to the polls.
Back in the 1980s, Orange County was a Republican stronghold. Voters overwhelmingly chose Ronald Reagan in those elections. But in the next 2 decades, that margin started to slim. By the year 2000, the county went blue by 2 percentage points, choosing Al Gore in that presidential election. And since then, the margin of Democrats and Republicans continues to widen every 4 years, and USF political scientist Susan McManus has watched the county turn dark blue.
And it's because it's an urban area that is very attractive. It's very diverse, younger, large LGBT population there, people moving in from other places.
The population continues to get younger and younger in Orange County, and more diverse. Now, there's no better way to see that than by looking at the University of Central Florida. UCF is now the second largest college in the country, and many of its students are first-time voters in the county. So what do they make of this election so far?
Well, it's been
hilarious in the most terrifying way.
That's Annie Allred. She's 19 years old, a political science student, and first-time voter. She's supporting Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton.
You know, I really want a woman president. I want that for girls younger than me so that they don't have to grow up thinking like, wow, being president's like a guy job.
Before Clinton received the nomination, this was Bernie territory. The progressive senator took young voters by storm, drawing college students to rallies by the hundred. Devi Modi, another 19-year-old first-time voter, was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
But it's not up until the point where, okay, I'm going to say, oh, it's Bernie or bust. If he doesn't get elected, then nobody will.
To Modi, there's not one issue that's drawing her towards Clinton. It's her experience compared to Donald Trump. And Clinton has clearly outlined her plan if she wins.
Trump, not even sure what he even believes in because he keeps changing his story every other day. This whole China created global warming, that was a nice bit.
For Michael Desmond, it's the Democratic Party's ideals that are garnering his support.
I'm gay, so coming from a conservative family, I was kind of pushed away from the whole, you know, conservative side. So it was like, it was the Democratic Party that, you know, essentially supporting gay rights and the progress for LGBT equality in America. And the Republicans really aren't.
Young voters are overwhelmingly Democratic, according to Gallup polls. But there are young voters, like Yeshua Cologne, backing GOP nominee Donald Trump.
I think Trump is going to be more, you know, he's a change candidate. You know, people have been throwing that around that word. Hillary Clinton would be just more of the same. And I don't really want more of the same.
Historically, these voters have the lowest turnout when Election Day rolls around. So if Clinton wants the coveted 29 electoral votes in the swing state, she'll have to convince the youngest voters to head to the polls. I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
The road to the White House passes right through Osceola County on the I-4 corridor. A growing Puerto Rican community is changing the face of this county, and Renata Sago takes us there.
Small Puerto Rican flags dangle over dashboards at this busy intersection in Kissimmee. Nearby, salsa echoes from the parking lot of a popular supermarket where a lunchtime rush of people heads in for arepas, arroz con pollo, and other tasty delights.
There's a lot more people here now.
Emma Ramos and her husband, John Colon, used to live here. They first came for cheap rent and quiet. Today, they come for good food.
Before, there was a lot of rundown buildings, no business.
There's a lot of infrastructure. It doesn't look the same.
Colon came to Osceola County from Puerto Rico in 1995. That was during one of the first major waves of migration. He, like many, got a job in tourism, working for Disney World, where his Spanish came in handy. Since then, thousands of other Puerto Ricans have followed. Colon and Ramos vote split tickets but lean Republican. This time, not so much for the presidential race.
We're not voting for Trump. Trump is an embarrassment.
Yeah, I cannot vote for Trump. I can't support what he stands for. I can't support the things that come out of his mouth.
His diversity.
There is no diversity in his mind. It's one group.
71-year-old Millie Knoble remembers when the county was one group. White, rural, working class.
Cowtown in the country.
Her family had a small farm out in St. Cloud with strawberries and green beans and okra.
When I was growing up, you could tell the difference where one city started and the next began, where now it's kind of all mashed together with houses and things like that. It's more touristy now.
Knoble leans Republican but often splits her vote between parties. Religious values are important to her this election. When it comes to the presidential race, she's keeping her politics to herself.
Not telling. Sorry.
But she does say she's not proud of the candidate she's voting for.
I don't believe you can believe either one of them at this point.
Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have stumped in Osceola County at least once this election season in an effort to target the area's largely contrasting groups, whites and Latinos, many young. That's no surprise for Osceola County Supervisor of Elections Mary Jane Arrington.
We have the largest percentage of no party affiliation in the state. We're 32% of our registered voters in the county have chosen to be associated with no party at all.
And Democrats outnumber Republicans.
Go ahead. We're going in the conference room. Come on in.
With fewer than 3 weeks before Election Day, her staff is busy counting up applications from new voters and address changes from longtime ones. She's seen one of the largest pushes possible to register voters, mainly from third-party nonpartisan groups geared toward new arrivals from Puerto Rico. This election will be their first chance to cast a ballot for president, something they can't do on the island. For University of South Florida politics professor Susan McManus, Osceola is leading the rest of the state in getting Puerto Ricans registered and active.
Puerto Ricans have gotten into state legislative politics successfully. They're in the power structure in Osceola.
And that could grow. According to the Hispanic Federation, Puerto Ricans there are on track to become Florida's largest Latino demographic. And how they vote in this election could influence the whole state. I'm Renata Sago in Orlando.
You're listening to Florida Matters, and today we're taking a good hard look at the counties along the I-4 corridor. I'm Robin Sessingham. We'll be right back. I'm Robin Sessingham, and this is Florida Matters. Right in the middle of the I-4 corridor sits Polk County, rural and conservative and largely Republican, but changing demographics could mean a close election there for president. Presidential candidate Donald Trump got an enthusiastic reception when he campaigned in Lakeland recently, and he probably noticed that Polk County, to coin a phrase, is really huge. It's about the size of Delaware, and for the past 20 years, the Republican Party has dominated the political scene there. One of the politicians stumping at the Trump rally in Lakeland was native son Dennis Ross, U.S. Congressman for the 15th District, which includes the western part of Polk County.
It is so good to be back home in Lakeland, a place where my wife and I were born and raised, and I was elected 6 years ago to the United States Congress to make change, and I'll be damned if I'm going to concede this White House to the Democratic Party.
Ross played to the crowd, touching on some popular Polk County activities to show he knew his audience and warning of a Supreme Court under a Clinton presidency.
Those of us that are law-abiding, card-carrying, concealed weapons, gun owners, hunters, sportsmen, fishermen, all of us who enjoy the great outdoors will now have a liberal court to erode and eviscerate the Second Amendment like we've never seen.
There are plenty of opportunities for hunting and fishing in Polk, and a lot of land in the county is still devoted to agriculture and citrus. Phosphate mining has been a major industry here for generations, and it's not a wealthy county. The median income is several thousand dollars lower than the state average, while the poverty rate is higher. Parts of Polk are represented in the U.S. Congress by Republican Dennis Ross and in the state legislature by conservative Republicans like Senator Kelly Stargell and Representative Neil Comby. But until the mid-90s, Polk was a Democratic Party bastion, say longtime political observers.
My name is Bill Rufty, and I was political editor with The Ledger, where I had worked for 30 years. And I'm currently semi-retired.
Rufty says the Democratic Party controlled Polk County for more than a century. Polk sent three Democratic governors to Tallahassee, though the next likely candidate from Polk, Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam, is a Republican. So what happened? Democrats did not know how to operate as the minority party, he says, and couldn't get their act together.
They were resting on their laurels, plus the fact that there was no control over who might run.
Lately, though, Rufty says the Democrats are starting to run better candidates and they're starting to get organized.
And I think organization is just as important as ideology.
Also helping the Democrats in Polk is the influx of Puerto Ricans into Osceola County, which is spilling into eastern Polk County as well. There are actually more registered Democrats than Republicans on the voter rolls.
It'll be interesting to see now whether or not the demographics have changed enough that Secretary Clinton will be able to win Polk County. In my own mind, based on the strong conservatism in the south portion of the county and the western portion of the county, I don't think that she will be able to do that.
But it will be close, Rufty says, and there may be enough Democratic votes in Polk County to help swing the I-4 corridor and thus swing the state. Next, Steve Newborn takes us to the most heavily populated county along I-4, Hillsborough. One political scientist says Hillsborough's makeup mirrors the state's, so it just might be the most accurate indicator of how Florida will vote.
Hillsborough County is considered so vital to the national election that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have already held 7 rallies here. The Tampa Convention Center, Ybor City's Ritz Theater, the University of South Florida twice, and the Florida State Fairgrounds twice.
We had 12,000 and 4,000 or 5,000 outside. Tonight we have, I guess, much more than that, and we have thousands of people outside. So something's happening.
So right here in Tampa, in front of the mayor, I want to tell you, if I'm your president, we're going to make investments in this port. We're going to go back and look at high-speed rail.
That was Hillary Clinton earlier this year, speaking before a couple thousand people at Tampa's Ybor City. And in February, 10,000 packed the USF Sundome to get a glimpse of Donald Trump, while several thousand others were turned away at the gate. And why were they here? USF political scientist Susan McManus says Hillsborough is filled with conservative Midwesterners, progressive urbanites, new immigrants from the Caribbean and South America, and third and fourth generation Cuban Americans.
Hillsborough County itself is often considered the best bellwether of Florida. The old saying has often been, particularly in presidential elections, that as Hillsborough goes, so goes Florida. As Florida goes, so goes the nation.
Hillsborough is about 18% black and 27% Hispanic, including a growing community of Puerto Ricans. Then there's what McManus calls the three key areas targeted by political operatives.
So from an age perspective, a geographical perspective, and a racial and ethnic perspective, Hillsborough looks more like the state than any other single county, and it's very divided and very competitive.
If you want to come to the urban heart of Tampa, you have to come to Ybor City. This is the historic Latin Quarter that was founded by cigar workers fleeing from Cuba over 150 years ago.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Can I do a French press?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and did you know what kind of bean you wanted? We have, today we have Sumatra, Rwanda, Colombia, and Honduras.
Inside a handsome brick building with a balcony overhead, Hillary Clinton supporters held a roundtable with Hispanic entrepreneurs. One of the participants was attorney Karen Skyers. She's bilingual, and when she studied at Florida A&M University, she was part of the Black and Hispanic Law Student Associations.
And I think that she is definitely putting a plan into place. She's describing herself as the small business president.
On the other hand, Skyers doesn't think the Republican candidate treats small business people very well.
Donald Trump sees them as extortion targets, building his empire for pennies on the dollar.
15 miles east on I-4 is a whole different world. There, outside the Parksdale Market Grove stand on US 92, Thad Diaz of Tampa says he doesn't like either of the main candidates, who seem to focus more on personality quirks than the issues.
One's a megalomaniac comic supervillain, and the other one's a narcissistic that's going to run the country into the ground, in my opinion.
Diaz says instead he's looking at casting his ballot for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. And even though Hillary Clinton's lead is increasing in national polls, McManus says these differences shine a spotlight on the uncertainty of the I-4 corridor.
And let me tell you, this election is far from done.
And that, she says, is why the I-4 corridor reflects the entire country. I am Steve Newborn in Tampa.
In Pinellas County, the number of Democrats and Republicans is nearly perfectly even. Mary Shedden visited a sunset party on Pasigrill Beach and finds it will be difficult to predict the election outcome for this county.
Pasigrill Beach is the southernmost spot along Pinellas County's Gulf Coast. Its Party Under the Lights event is a few degrees warmer than fall festivals up north. But the topic everyone here is talking about is what you're hearing across the country. It's all about the bitter battle for President of the United States. Peter Brown is watching bands play on the patio of a local tavern called Shadrack's. He grew up in Pasigrill and was a Democrat when he left to join the Marines to fight in Vietnam. He returned from that war a Republican and has been steadfast during his career as a firefighter for the Department of Defense. He's supporting Republican Donald Trump.
Considering national security is my top priority, I'm going to have to vote for Trump.
I don't criticize people who are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. They, you know, that's their conscience, and I just, national security is a big thing.
His deference to those voting for the Democratic nominee is a nod to Brown's knowledge that his hometown and Pinellas County doesn't lean politically one way or another. The number of registered Republicans in this county of nearly 1 million people is just 600 more than the number of registered Democrats. Less than a block away from Shadrach's is one of them. Joe Widlansky is running a tent promoting the organization he operates, called Sea Turtle Trackers Incorporated. He says he's a proud liberal.
I believe it's split almost 50-50 down here. It is pretty close. You know, I see some Trump bumper stickers. I see some Hillary, you know, but this year there aren't nowhere near as many.
Widlansky has lived in St. Petersburg, the biggest city in Pinellas, for 16 years. He says he's really concerned about the environment, gay rights, and campaign finance.
The Supreme Court is a major factor in my decision.
But voters leaning only to the left or right are not the only factors in Pinellas, where 75% of its residents are white. While each major party has about 225,000 registered voters, another 176,000 Pinellas residents identify with another party. Voters like Luis Borgos and his wife Nancy, who are watching the sunset with their 4-year-old grandson. The retirees came to St. Petersburg from Puerto Rico a few years ago. They say it's wrong to assume that Clinton will get all of the Hispanic vote, which in Pinellas is about 1 in every 10 voters. Borgos says while Trump has made disparaging comments about Mexicans,
you know, but I don't think that he really hates Hispanics or black people. You know, I think that he just is spelling from his mind, you know, trying to demonstrate that the United States need to be united again, you know.
He does say he wants to vote for a candidate who will work toward peace.
I'm still thinking, and I will probably don't vote for Hillary or Trump. No, you know, it's a matter of convictions, you know.
Peter Brown, the Trump supporter, understands what Borgos means.
I just don't have a problem. If they're going to vote their conscience, I'm going to vote my conscience, and I don't have a problem with anybody doing that, but just do it, either left or right, whatever, just get out and vote.
And while politics will remain a hot topic, everyone in Paso Grill seems to pause for a few minutes come sunset. Here, hundreds gather on the beach and near an old bell that volunteers ring every day as the sun disappears on the horizon. And for a moment, the election is the last thing on their minds. I'm Mary Shedden in St. Pete Beach.
That's it for today's show. You can join the conversation on our WUSF Facebook page, or you can send us a tweet at Florida Matters or an email at floridamatters@wusf.org. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.